Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, welcome to the show, and what do you know, today's Friday.
Good morning.
October 27th, we're back here with you. Always good mood on Friday. Not that we're not in a good mood every day.
Right.
You know, I feel if I didn't have the show, my days would be shit.
Yeah.
You know, I have to start it with the show, and it puts me all back in the game, you know, then I'm in balance again. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. I didn't have my breakfast this morning, so I'm a little slow.
A little slow this morning? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well,
I'm going to have breakfast after.
We'll have deliveries for you every morning. You'll wait for you.
Well, we should have different breakfast spots in town send us little
stuff
so we can shout them out.
I know. Get here a little earlier, have breakfast. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Have a joint and then go into the show, right? Exactly. But that requires us to get up earlier.
I mean, I will get, if it's food, I will get up.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's very little that, you know, sat, you know, just weed, food, radio, I'm fine.
You don't require a lot, right?
No.
Low maintenance.
Very low maintenance.
Wow. So we do have a guest. We'll be joined by him in just a moment. Rachel, do you have any shows this weekend that people can go see?
I'm at Second City on Sunday. I don't remember the time. That's where I am. And then I have some shows next week. I'll be back. I got booked I'm back in Las Vegas December 7th.
Really?
At the Rampart Casino, which is actually right up by my house. So I'm going back to Vegas.
So it's like kind of a casino for locals?
Yeah. I mean, when they originally built it, I believe it was a Marriott.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and then it just like got converted to Rampart Casino.
Rampart Casino, wow.
Which is, so it's a local.
Yeah,
it's up in Summerlin.
Yeah, well, you're invading Vegas. There you go, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep getting around. I mean, there's a lot of places to perform in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe and one they pay day you.
Open. Yeah, right? But, you know, and one day you'll open for big people. Maybe they'll open for you.
Yeah.
You know.
Dream big.
Yeah, exactly. You know, don't give up, folks. Mm-hmm. Never give up. So, and where's Second City? Is that in Hollywood or
it's
something?
It's in Hollywood. I've actually never performed there or been there, so I'm stoked because, yeah, I mean, I've always grown up hearing about Second City, and they push out really good talent and actors and comedians and stuff, so it'll be cool for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they named this after Second City TV. You know, they used to have that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's
right?
all related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Under
yeah.
the brand.
Because that was like a Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
But many Saturday Night Live people started on Second City. That was the amazing thing.
Yeah, I would I'm interested. I mean, I did improv as a kid, like for most of my like childhood life. After school, that's what my mom put me in. She made me try everything, but the only things that really stuck were drama and like basketball.
Right.
So I would like get in. I'm interested in doing more improv as an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Do improv.
I'm gonna find out.
Yeah. A couple things you'd find interesting is apparently regular marijuana users have more sex, a study says. Not a surprise to me. I don't know if I have more sex or I just want to have more sex. But the bottom line is, I think weed has always been my friend.
Well, it is. For some people, it's an aphrodisiac.
It is.
And also, it makes sense because weed is relaxing. And when you're more relaxed, you know, things happen.
Right.
Also, there are certain strains that are said to be like stimulating, I guess.
I think
Granddaddy Perp is like a strain that's have to ask Molly like I said, there's my friend Ashley Manta, she's a sex educator but use it with cannabis within the cannabis industry.
Good. This would be right up her alley.
Yeah.
But I can say with certainty that I think everybody who can handle weed, not the people that fall asleep from it, but if you can handle weed, you probably are aroused. It's easier to get aroused, I think, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah, just like anything else. Everything tastes better. Everything feels better. Sounds better.
Someone say that alcohol does that, but I think, I had one drink last night at I went out to dinner with my mom, or with my mom, with my boyfriend and his mom. She's in town, and I had one drink, a tequila drink, and I'm like fucked up from it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, I'm not into drinking at all. And I know many people that use weed are not into drinking either. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a different poison.
Yeah.
But check this out. I mean, the numbers are staggering. The same women who used marijuana daily had 7 times on average in 4 weeks. That's a lot.
What source are you reading from?
7 times in 4 weeks.
What's the source coming from?
This is CNN.
Yeah.
And they got a study by a prominent urologist, I guess. So,
interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very interesting. And, you know, if you listen to the show, we do promote the uncontrollable use. No, not at all.
It's more like the controlled use.
Exactly. We just say, you know, do it with... with some kind of limits or something, you know. I don't know. I haven't put limits on myself.
Just
but
find what works for you.
Yeah, exactly. What the hell, you know. There's also studies that show marijuana use can decrease sperm count.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. So, but they're saying...
But so can alcohol, so can, you know, so can Mountain Dew.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever.
But, yeah, but you know what they're saying? They're saying... While men want to have sex more, orgasm may be a challenge. With weed, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, it's more of a challenge when you take friggin' antidepressants and shit, mm-hmm. you know? They'll fuck you up, man.
Yeah.
But not weed, man. If it lowers the sperm count, what can I say? I mean, look, I was smoking since I was 18. I had 2 kids.
Yeah, you're
there
also
you
not looking to get anyone pregnant.
And exactly,
right
not anymore. But I'm
maybe
talking when I was
control.
Younger, you know?
Maybe it's just free or another form of birth control.
I don't know. I can't imagine sex without weed, but there you go. Also, 2 women were rescued after 5 months adrift in the Pacific. 5 friggin' months. They're not even telling you in the story how they survived. But apparently they took a boat on their own with their dogs from Hawaii going to Tahiti. Now, I'm asking you, would you do something like this? I mean, Tahiti's far. So they realized they were starting getting adrift. And of course, they missed their target by a lot. So then they were found somewhere near Japan, believe it or not. So
for 5 months, they were on a raft?
5 months on a raft. You know, they thought they were dying every day. They didn't know what the hell was going on.
How did they eat?
That's what I'm asking. I mean, wait a minute. Here they go. And they survived on a year's worth of dry goods, including oatmeal, pasta, and rice.
But how did they?
They also
have
had
all...
water purifier. Because you see, I guess they planned to take a trip. It's not like they went for the day and got adrift. They had a purpose to go to Tahiti with their boat, you know, and they never made it. But apparently, they were prepared with lots of food and stuff. Because that's the question comes into your mind is how do you survive for 5 months? But apparently they had all the supplies they needed, so, you know.
Hmm.
Very interesting, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, God, every day you think you're going to die, you know? Wow. I mean, how do you not lose hope? You know, that's the one thing about life, you know, we're born with this instinct to want to live, to survive, to stay alive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why when people are depressed, they want to die and stuff, you realize these people are not okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're not okay because this is not normal. You know, so and it's unfortunate, but it's a sad thing to do. But okay, at any rate, folks, we're going to be joined by our guest now, and we have a special guest whom I met a few weeks ago. His name is Baba Gar. Welcome to the show, Gar.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Sam. So you want to be called Baba or Gar?
You can call me Baba, you can call me Gar, you can call me Schmuck. I don't care what you call me. Just call me something.
Yeah.
Baba Schmuck, that's a good name. You see, if you were like a comedian or something, that would be good.
Yeah. You know, I've always... That's a funny statement that you make because we've just met. And when I was a kid growing up, people thought that I was funnier than Woody Allen.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty good, you see. So,
well, more neurotic.
Did you agree with them?
You know, I come from the streets of the Bronx.
Really?
If I didn't agree with them, then they were in trouble.
Really? So you lived, what, you grew up like on the streets? Is that where you hung out and stuff? Is
pretty much. I my mom threw me out when I was 4 years old.
What?
Yeah.
She threw you out to where? To another family?
To the streets. I lived in the what was called the Public Housing Project. I'm the one white guy.
Foster families and stuff? Is that it?
No, not foster families. I was blessed. I had a mom and dad, but I was a little bit uncontrollable when I was 4 years old. My brother was 6 years. This is a true story.
Right.
My brother is 6 years older than I am, so he was 10. If you're 10 years old, you're already on your own in the Bronx. You're already dating. You have girlfriends. You have sex. Whatever you do, it happens. Though this is the reality of the Bronx of those days.
It reminds me of A Bronx Tale.
The Bronx, what's that about?
A Bronx Tale. Haven't you ever seen that
movie?
No,
I've never seen that movie.
It's about growing
either.
Up in the Bronx. It's really? A great movie. Yeah, it's a classic.
Oh, wow. Then you got to see it, Gar.
Oh. Maybe it's about me.
Maybe it's about you. Maybe you'll see
it. But that's what it's kind of like what you just like, you know, growing up fast, you know, on the streets.
Well. When I was 5 years old, I went on my first literally real date. I had to dress up like Fonzie. and we cut school. My brother cut school. He got to see his girl. I remember her name was Connie Sherman. She lived on Shakespeare Avenue, and she had a younger sister who was 4. And I swear, I see it in front of me. I said to him, "Rich, what do I do?" And he says, "Just hold her hand. That's what you're supposed to do on a date." So when I was 5 years old, I went on my first
date. That's cute.
That's cool. I remember my first date. I must have been in fifth grade, I think, or something. So that's a little older, but
fifth grade. That's already grandfather.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in those times, yeah. But it was weird, you know. I mean, I remember in fourth, fifth grade, we actually, what they did is they paired up people, like all the students and the friends. They sort of like paired up. So it's like, okay, I'm going to be with that girl. She's going to be with him. And then Sam is left with this one.
You got the leftovers.
You know, we had that. We also had that. It was called Pass the Girl.
With one girl?
No. It was 4 guys and 4 girls. And
you guys,
I better not say this.
Is,
I don't know what if this show's rated.
Well, don't. No, I mean, the show's fine, but don't go into areas with children and shit like that. You know,
it was okay. Yeah. You make out with one girl,
yeah,
and then you last for 3 minutes, and then you pass. And
so it's like speed dating for kids.
Basically.
Wild place.
You know, I mean, the times are so freaking different. You know, things have changed so much. You know, people got away with murder when
there's
we
no
were
social
kids,
media.
You know? No social media at the time, you know. So a lot of shit was private, you know. A lot of stuff was private. And people brought it just, you thought things about you were like you were the only one, you know, because you couldn't see other people, you know, going through.
So do you think it's
shit.
Different now, or you think it's the same?
Yeah, it's very different, man. I mean, people, there's no privacy. Everybody knows everything about everybody. You know, and some of the people that really put up everything on Facebook, it's amazing to me. You know, I mean, why do you document all your life? And I realized today, I was going through Facebook, I realized you can actually build a profile of a person in your mind based on what they post. Mm-hmm. You know, and I see these people, and you know, and you think this guy's neurotic, every day posts like positive, negative, positive, negative. And then this woman is like, she's totally focused on just showing herself and, you know, and things like that. So so you see narcissism there and stuff. So, yeah, people put themselves out there. And you got to realize the more you do, the more people will know about you, you know, and do you really want to? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, I made my profile private on Facebook. Eventually, like mm-hmm. a year ago, mm-hmm. but that was after we had a little scandal here that we were dragged into. But
what happened?
This was but let me just tell you. So I made my thing private because when things happen, people start digging up shit on you, you know. And I figured, you know, let me have a certain amount of privacy because people were calling, emailing me shit. But what happened was we had a host here who had said some derogatory things to a gay guy mm-hmm. who had been on the show with her here, okay, on the station. They were fine here, but then on social media, between them, they started fighting.
Mm.
And she sent up a personal message, but he posted it for the whole world to see.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly it was, hey, Cindy Brady is using, you know, has a dirty mouth or you know, homophobic remarks and shit like that, you know. So, I mean, this was on the front pages of yahoonews.com.
From
USANews.com.
LA Talk Radio. It was Cindy Brady?
Yeah, yeah. And she's still here. Now she's back doing a co-hosting thing. But at the time, people wanted us to fire her. It was right before the election.
She's
not at all. She's not at all. He called her name, so she called him back. It was never meant to go out of their messaging and stuff, you know. But at any rate, I mean,
that's good press.
But they read it up there on TV. I mean, someone recorded Wendy Williams quoting this, you know, on her show. It was everywhere.
Wendy Williams was here?
No, not here. I'm telling you that people picked up the story. Somebody made up that story, wrote a story online, and then everybody picked it up, and they got it wrong, too. You know, because I never fired her. She had called and said, you know, I'm just leaving beforehand. Mm-hmm. I want you to know this is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the scandal. But at any rate, but the point I'm trying to say is keep your privacy if you have to. I mean, if you don't have to really be out there. I mean, I'm in the public eye, but still.
I see the article.
You know, do you? Mm-hmm. Did you find it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it was all over the place.
The Hollywood Reporter, Sam.
Yeah, yeah, Hollywood
LA
Reporter.
LA Talk Radio.
LA Talk Radio. We were even in
the... You're famous.
You see, that's the thing. At the time,
In Touch Weekly?
I know.
CBS Local? I'm not even reading anything about homophobia. I just see LA Talk Radio. It's literally everywhere.
Right. Because the headlines were...
How stoked were you?
I wasn't. I mean, I was really stressed out. I mean, you should have seen. If you go on our page and go back a year, you'll see all the statements. Fire her. Why did you fire her? Blah, 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 blah. From both sides of the political spectrum, I got, like, attacks like you wouldn't believe. And I just said,
oh, my God,
your
name is in this. LA my Talk name? Radio was launched in 2008 by entrepreneur Sam Hussein.
Yeah, because they looked it online on the website or something.
Yeah, and then here's your statement.
I didn't have a statement. We posted a little thing on Facebook, yeah. And we said we just severed the ties with her. I didn't say we fired her. I mean, she had called the day before and left a message, which I hadn't heard. So it was like a whole thing, right?
Publicity.
But at any rate. So let's go back to Gar. So you're originally from New York City, right?
Yes, sir.
And so you had a rough childhood, would you say?
Not at all. No, not at all. I had a blessed childhood. It's just that I grew up in a neighborhood where money was a challenge. And my dad made, what did my dad make? $75
a week. Yeah, wow.
And our rent was rent controlled. So for you folks out there that I'm not a liberal, I'm not a conservative, I'm not a pink or a green or a red, but the thing is that we did have the city supplemented. So the rent for a family of five was $95 a month.
Wow.
It was 500 square feet and it was five of us.
Yeah. So that's not a lot of money left, let me tell you, after you pay the rent or the mortgage, whatever. I mean,
but we lived.
Yeah, yeah. You see, that's the thing. My dad comes from a very poor background too, because like he came to Israel about 10 years before it was independent. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of poverty there. There was no really government. The British had military there and they were keeping the law and everything. But there was no country, there was no government, there was no nothing, right? So there was a lot of poverty and they lived, he said, three families in one house. Mm. And each family is four or five people, you know? So it's like each family has a room or something. Imagine how tough that is, you know? And then, so the transitions that those people go through, and then suddenly we're in the internet age, and these people, like my parents, they don't know what the fuck happened. What hit them, you know, coming from that world to this world today. So things happen, and they move fast, and I think things are going to just accelerate as we keep moving, right? With all the new technology and everything. Wow. So you grew up, you have an older brother, you said?
I have two older brothers.
Oh, two older brothers. Cool. And then what did you do? Let's see. So you went to high school. What did you do after high school?
You know, I was just a regular kid of the Bronx.
You get a job and stuff? Or?
I started working when I was 9 years old.
Oh, wow. Had to help out because the family was poor.
Well, my parents never get. I had an allowance of 10 cents a week.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And I had some friends that had more money. They had allowances of 25 cents a week.
Right.
So I was envious.
Yeah, right.
So what did I do? I went out and got a job. You know these homeless baskets that the women, that people, mm-hmm. the people carry? Well, yeah. Well, I walked with that homeless basket for about a mile. I remember it was to Popham Avenue. Uh-huh. And then I delivered newspapers
really?
When I was 9 years old.
Good for you, you see. So you learned to survive, to take yourself, care of yourself early on. Very cool. What was your next move after that? Did you stay in New York? Did you move?
You know, I always believed in education. My parents always believed. The one difference between me and a lot of these people that grew up in the hood is that most guys that grow up in the hood that end up in prison either do not have a father or have a father that beats the mother or beats them.
Wow.
And I was very fortunate. My dad, I had two parents, and my dad was not a violent person.
Good for you. So you're here to say that probably many of people in jail come from broken homes.
I'm going to say that's 100%.
Really?
Not even, because I've been in jail.
Really?
And I've met many, many people that I consider to be good friends that are have murdered people.
Right. That they come from a home without a dad or a good dad or a role model.
The one consistency, Sam, is that the dad was abusive.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Wow. See, people should take note of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, your kids probably end up in prison if you use violence at home.
I met one fella in prison, a Latino fella, nicest guy, 25 years old, Walter. I remember he gave me a Bible. And it's true. Most of the people in prison have Bibles.
You have to. I mean, you're like so lonely in there. You realize I need God in my life, you know. You need something, you know. But, wow, very interesting stuff, man. That's like, that's quite a story. So you believed in education.
And I was fortunate. I actually skipped a grade in school. Never a smart, particularly smart guy, but I've always had this tremendous thirst to learn. To this day, I do. In the last 3 or 4 days, I could tell you all kinds of new stuff I've learned about biochemistry and biology. I just want to continue.
Yeah, I know. I'm like that too. Seven books at home, I'm reading them.
Oh, really?
All at the same time, you know.
Oh, that's like me. But you're ADD like me. You have to read them all.
Yeah, you know. It's not really ADD, but is that your phone, guy? Wow, cool.
Sorry.
Music.
You know what? I put everything on the same message. I go, I'm on my way.
Cool. So go on.
So
did you
I
go
skipped
to school?
A grade,
so you
and then
skipped
I,
a grade. Did
and,
you?
And I graduated high school when I was 16. I did what a lot of the kids in the Bronx do. Smoked weed when I was 11 years old.
That's early.
I did lewds. We called them lewds at the time.
Yeah, quaaludes.
Quaaludes. Yeah, wow, it's funny you know that.
Yeah, because
I've
I was there
those.
At the time.
I've
We're from the same generation.
Wow.
I mean, come on. You know, I was in Vegas, living in Vegas in the 70s, and we were doing lewds all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, they cost about, I can't remember, they were
I just picture you guys
too.
Like Fear and Loathing.
Yeah, right? I've never seen that one, but...
You should watch that movie.
Like I've never heard of that.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? Come on, guys.
No, I know of it.
Is that a movie?
It's a book, too, based on... it's Hunter Thompson mm-hmm. or something, right? Mm-hmm. But I know of it, but I've never seen it.
Actually, you guys got to watch A Bronx Tale and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and then we'll get
okay.
on the same page, all of us.
All yeah. right.
I have to do
so
that.
So you see, she watches movies about our generation,
about,
and we don't.
That's why I know what you guys are talking about. I'm like, yeah, Quaaludes,
good.
Awesome.
Lewds, you know, if I remember, one thing about the lewds is that, mm-hmm. again... I'm going to say this on this show. On my show, we don't talk about this kind of
That's
stuff.
That's okay. Go
but,
ahead.
But the thing is that if you want to have really great sex with a girl, you gave her lewds.
Yeah. And you took one too. You know, I mean, it's not like you
yeah.
gave it to her.
Oh,
you
no,
both
no.
Took
no
it
date
together.
Rape bullshit.
Right, right.
No.
We just took
you
it
take
together.
It together.
And you're so numb. You know, that's why the song Comfortably Be Numb, when it came out, I knew it was about lewds. Nothing makes you as numb as a quaalude. And
why would you want to be numb?
Well, but it's numbness where you feel yourself and it feels great.
Okay.
I mean, it's just like a tingle type
okay,
of thing,
okay,
you know?
Okay.
That kind of numbness.
Okay.
Not that you don't feel anything,
okay.
but comfortably numb.
Yeah, okay.
Comfortably numb. That's how you feel.
Very sincerely, I don't remember. I did it once or twice. And then I decided that I wanted to do something different. I didn't want to go to college. I was young. I just turned 17. And I went. It was one of the only things I regret in my life. I don't regret anything, but I kind of regret this. I went and told my mom, I'm leaving. I said, I'm going to hitchhike to New Mexico from New York, and I'm going to live on a commune.
Really?
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, New Mexico, you went there specifically because there was a commune there?
No, I'd read. I read a book by a man named Jack Kerouac called On the Road.
Okay.
And he believe that in life you should go out and experience life.
Different things.
And I was always a bit of a rebel. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do this on my own. So I hitchhiked up to Boston. I remember I went to the Harvard in Cambridge. I went to the Harvard Ride Board. And at that time it was easy. And I got a ride with a gal that was going out to California.
Yeah.
In her MGB.
Wow. Really?
Two-seater.
So... Wow! So you actually went to New Mexico then?
Yeah, I've been doing the pot. I did the LSD. I did a lot of stuff in high school. All the while continuing my studies.
And
I just felt that there needed to be something more in life.
Right, than just drugs and shit.
The drugs just wasn't doing it for me.
Yeah.
And so I.
So you ended up in a commune in Mexico?
It's called an ashram.
Right.
I became a yogi. After 3 months, I was meditating 5 hours a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of meditation. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then I decided I wanted to go to India and become a monk.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. So you got totally into that spiritual side of you.
Big time. I'm still there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So did you move to India?
Funny thing happened to me on the way to India.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to hear that story.
Like Columbus. Columbus, something funny happened to him on the way to India, too. He ended up here.
And actually, he thought he was in India.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they call them Indians here. Go on.
The day I was, I hitchhiked back to from New Mexico to New York. And I remember I see it in front of me. I peered at the front door of the house. And the dog Princess was barking up a storm because I was my molecules, my atoms, I was a different person. My dog didn't recognize me after just four or five months later.
Really?
A German Shepherd. German Shepherds are tough. You know, I remember seeing his teeth. And I says, Prinny, let me in. And wouldn't let me in.
Really?
And my mother came to the door. She was originally from Chicago, and she called me Geary. My birth name is Geary.
Okay.
And if you're from New York, you'd call me Gary.
Right.
And if you're from Chicago, you'd call me Geary. And now I'm Gar.
Okay. I love it. And now he's just a symbol like Prince.
Formerly known as.
Yeah, right.
And so what happened is that I said to my mom, I said, Mom, at that time you didn't have cell phones. So she didn't know. Right. I just appeared at the front door.
Yeah.
And I guess my mother kind of, they came to accept who I was, but my brother said something to me that was actually kind of nasty about 15, 20 years ago. He says, Mom died young because of you.
Wow. What a terrible thing to say. To anybody.
Are you close to your brother?
As a matter of fact, right now, no.
Yeah. Probably after that, I wouldn't.
Hmm? What does he do?
He is in the car business. Yeah. Lives out in Moore Park.
So now, but how did he attribute that to you? I mean, in what way?
My mom
came
down with cancer when she was 51.
Okay.
She came down with a very, very advanced form of cancer, and she was an amazing.
She fought it hard.
She was an amazing person. She fought it until she was 63 years old.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And she actually took a bus to chemotherapy 3 days a week.
Amazing.
We didn't own a car.
Amazing, right. So how did you cause her death? I mean, what made him say
such I don't know. He just made that comment one day. You know, it's funny how people are. They don't realize that when someone makes a comment, it stays in your muscles.
Of course. But did you tell him, like, what the fuck? You know, why are you saying this? You know, I mean, this is like to put such responsibility on you for the rest of your life, to put all that guilt.
He was obviously
upset. You guys are really cool. Because I've never actually told this to anybody before.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you.
He obviously was upset about something that he was taking it out on you.
I think he was always kind of... I guess this is not going to be seen on my show. So
what's the age difference?
He won't know about it.
Is he older or younger?
6 years, and he was actually kind of my surrogate father. because my dad was a bookkeeper making 75, and for some reason he was never home. He'd come home at 10 o'clock at night. My mom had to deal with these three lunatic boys because we're all close in age, and he was my surrogate father. So I learned. Are you familiar with the TV show of the 70s called Happy Days?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes. You remember Fonzie?
Fonz, yeah.
Right. Well, my brother was the Fonz before, wow. 20 years earlier.
The OG Fonz.
And
original.
OG, and actually, that's what I call myself. I call myself Baba Gar, the original OG from the BX. I was you know what it is? I never lost a fight since I'm 8 years old. I just had the intelligence to know when to fight and when not to. Yeah. And so I'm kind of a tough guy.
Yeah.
But not physically. Okay. Mentally.
Really? So, but did you pick fights and things like that?
No, the last fight, I'm going to tell you about, I'm an eidetic. Have you ever heard of the word eidetic?
Mm. No.
Okay, an eidetic is someone who could instantly, anything you say, he can relate to some experience in his life and see it in living color.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so I could do that. So right now, when you talk about it, my last fight was with this kid named Larry Gluck on Montgomery Avenue. I see it in front of me. And it was over this girl, Judy Cohen, who we both liked.
Fighting
it's
over
always a girl.
Yeah,
it's always a girl. She was blonde, freckles. Very cute. So there was Judith Cohen, Ellen Gruber, and Beatrice Frankel.
Wow. How did
they don't name people like these names anymore.
But plus, how do you remember the last name?
I don't know.
I always will remember the kids.
Some people have different degrees of this.
But you know why? I think also because they do. They call the roll every day in class, right? So you know everybody's names and last names.
Also because Facebook's around too. I can't ever forget anyone's name.
That's true.
Me.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch. Tonight I'll get a what do you call it? Instant messaging or something? And they'll say, "Hi, I'm Beatrice Strand." I'll see a picture and I'll go, "Oh God, that's the girl I went to the sixth grade prom with."
Mm-hmm.
So it actually ended up being that I didn't go to the. I'm just going to say one thing because it connects to my show, the Baba Gar Show, Awake with
yes.
Baba Gar.
And by the way, we didn't tell you, but Baba Gar has his own show here. I started by saying we met a few weeks ago, but that's when Gar brought his show here, a radio show. It's on Thursdays at 8 p.m.
Thank you.
Right here on LA Talk Radio. It's called Awake with Baba Gar. Mm. And so tell us a little bit about the show.
The show... We don't have that much time.
We have plenty of time.
I actually came down with something called bipolar.
Bipolar disorder.
And I believe I've done a tremendous amount of research on this. I've had bipolar for 30 years.
Right.
And I've taken 143 different psychotropic drugs.
Wow.
So along with my spiritual side, I have a emotional
right.
Or psychological.
So you try just about every medication out there.
You name it, I've tried it.
Really? And yeah. Have you finally found the right cocktail?
No.
The right No. So you're still battling this?
I really want to believe my ego. I want to believe that I'm principally healed.
Okay.
That's a whole long story that I really can't get into right now.
Right. But you don't need to be healed. I think you just need to be... stabilized. Yes, stabilized.
And I'm principally under control, but I've done a lot of research on this, Sam, and I believe that I'm going to go out on a limb and say something to you that's pretty wild. I believe that 85% of the people in America have some form of depression.
That you know what? I would have to...
Of course.
I would agree with you.
Well, I was diagnosed bipolar at 12, and I was taken... I've taken pretty much every... Lithium, Seroquel, anything that you pound it, anything that you could probably think of. But when I was 24, because I didn't understand.
You look 24. How old are you?
I'm 30. But
he's actually 16. But
really,
we had to say
I age backwards.
For legalities,
I age backwards. Exactly. No, but I just didn't understand why I was taking all of these medications, but I still felt like I wanted to kill myself in layman's terms.
Yeah.
But I also had seen so many doctors throughout my life that told me I was always something or this or that, and they'd see me for 5 minutes out of their day and my day.
Yeah, psychiatrists are terrible that way.
So something didn't feel right. So I went to a doctor who was like, I don't think you're bipolar. I think you suffer from depression, which, like you say, I think most of us do because the way society is, we're not fitting into the way that the expectations of this society that has built these boxes and labels. And, you know, humans, we're artists, we're creators, we're meant to express ourselves. And when society fights back and tells us, no, you can't feel this way, so it's hard to fit right. into this world, whatever. So I took control of my own mental health. With the guidance of a doctor, I came off the medications and I just use, I go to therapy, I exercise, I use cannabis.
Good for you.
I know meditation is, because I the type of therapy that I was going to is called DBT therapy, and it's based in mindfulness, which is in Buddhism practices, and it's life-changing. I mean, and also what's remarkably helped me is writing, becoming a better writer, because when you write something, you read it and you take a second and you read it back over and you realize, okay, there's a misspelling word there. It causes you to pause.
Right.
And I think that space in between when something happens and your reaction has really taken, you know, even when I react in person or how I respond back to people, I think I take a second of, what am I going to say here?
Right,
you know what I mean?
Because right,
yeah. like even if your brother did that, maybe he wouldn't have said that to you, because words just hurt just as much as wounds, except wounds disappear. Mm. You forget about them.
Mm-hmm.
Words don't, you know? So, yeah,
that's
I can totally
true.
Relate to you on that journey of...
Yeah. And, you know...
Thank you.
It seems like everybody's got their story and everything, mm-hmm. you know, and for me... So you're still experiencing the depression... the deep depression that comes with bipolar?
Okay, I'll tell you. Let's see if I can encapsulate this. That remember that day that on my way to India?
Yes.
Well, the guru was in New York. If you will, a channel for the guru. His name was Dada Yatishvarananda. He was a Dada. Dada in Sanskrit means brother, or Acharya, which means teacher. You know, he wore the saffron robes. He'd previously been a computer engineer, and he became a monk.
Right.
And so he was passing through New York, and I was basically pretty much on my way to Kennedy Airport to become a monk, live in a cave.
Whoa.
and I stopped there, and he said, so I see it in front of me. Again, I have this disability. I call it a disability. Instead of saying I have this ability, I say I have disability. Instead of this ability, I say I have disability.
Right.
It's kind of a joke I make with myself.
Okay.
So I have disability to see these things in living color right now.
Right.
And so I remember he had a long nose and he had eyeglasses on. And he says, so, son, you're here to get a name. And I says, well, Dada, I'm not really here to get a name. I have my own name. And the night before, I had a dream. And I decided to drop the Y from my name and call myself Gar.
Really?
And in the with the people that I was associated with, everybody had a name. Everybody was either Ram Das, Krishna Das, Govinda Das. Everybody was a Das. Das means servant. Of
okay.
So if it, I don't know, this is one of the people that inspired me. His name is Ram Das. I don't know if you've ever heard. He wrote a book named Be Here Now. He's still alive. I know him. He's 86 years old and he's paralyzed. He lives in Hawaii, Maui. May God bless him. And Ram is a word for God. So Krishna Das. I don't know if you've ever heard of Krishna Das, KD. He's the greatest singer, I think, in the world of spiritual music.
Uh-huh.
I know KD. And so they all are servant of God. So every
gotcha.
Name in India is
gotcha.
Something to do with God.
No, I have an yeah, Indian right? friend whose last name is Das.
There you go. Okay. So I said, my name is Gar. I wasn't trying to be rebellious. I was
right.
just saying that that's my name, Dada. I mean, I see myself saying it just like this then. And he goes, what? Your name is Gar? I remember him saying, like, why are you laughing?
I don't know, the way you say it.
And I go, yes. I thought he was going to throw me through the window or something.
Really?
He was kind of a straight guy. And I said, yes. He says, do you know what that word means, son? And I says, no, Dada, just Gary, drop the wine. He says, that's an ancient Sanskrit word from 7,000 years ago.
Really? Wow.
So Gar actually means door to the soul.
Mm.
Well, very good. So now you have a meaning to Gary.
So I'm Baba Gar.
There you go.
Love it.
Very cool. So how did the... So tell us a little bit. So on the show, do you discuss your experiences with bipolar, with... mental illness, things like that. What do you focus on your show?
Well, we just started the show. Thank you, Sam, for for allowing me to have this vehicle to communicate my message. My goal is to get people to know that if they have bipolar, if they have depressive issues, that there's a forum that, you know, there's so many forums out there, Sam, that are about talking. Like, it seems like it's the flavor of the month now. Every couple of weeks you hear about another celebrity, either in music or in theater, that says, oh, I have bipolar.
Right.
And I almost think that they're doing that. I accept that they have bipolar, but I feel like the way that they're doing
it. In a trendy way?
In like a trendy. Yes, social media trend. What do you think of that?
Well, wearing it like a medal or something?
No, not necessarily like a medal, but it's like where were you, you know, years ago when this was so taboo? Why weren't you owning, you know, like, why are you coming out now? But I see both sides. I see, like, okay, you know, but I think that's just because years ago, this wasn't talked about. When you met someone who was bipolar, it was like, whoa, you know, like...
They still are. I mean because
they still are, but I also think that it does... I think it depends because there's so much...
People do accept more. I have to agree with you.
Because I think, like what Baba Gar said is, you know, most of us struggle with some form of... whether it be depression or anxiety or bipolar or whatever it is, addiction, you know, it's all a disease in different, you know, aspects or whatnot. And I think that because more people are coming out and saying this, and because, you know, we have the guy from Linkin Park, was it the guy that he killed himself? And then, you know, his wife put up the video of, like, he killed himself. It was found out.
Are
that
you talking
he had,
about Kurt Cobain or no?
No. I'm
who
talking about the guy from the guy who recently killed himself this past year.
From Linkin Park. I don't remember his name.
He was known to have bipolar, and she put up a video after he passed of the day before he killed himself and took his own life of just sitting with his kids and having a good time at dinner. And she was posting this to show that mental illness doesn't have a face. It doesn't have we all have our faces, but it doesn't, you can't look at someone and
you
be
can't
able to
treat it
exactly,
with
exactly.
Iodine.
There's no blood test for it. You know, it's just, you know, people struggle with this, and because it's not talked about and because there's not a forum or a place where people are comfortable with having these discussions, that it can go under the radar. And that's why, you know, when you see and hear people, celebrities, people who seem to have everything in the world, it doesn't matter because, you know, mental illness doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care how much money
and
you
people
have.
Don't understand what it is. By the way, it's Chester Bennington from Linkin Park.
Yeah, Chester Bennington. Sorry,
I didn't know his name. It's okay. I would never know. But I do remember him going through this. And I would venture to say that probably most suicides are by people that suffer bipolar, because they're saying that when you're just depressed, sometimes you're too depressed to even kill yourself. Mm-hmm. But when you have bipolar, you have the energy to actually
it. It's the mania. It's combined with the mania. Right. So it's like, it's just, you know, it's more just talking about, like, we learn, and we've talked about this before in school, math, science, reading, history, whatever. But we don't learn interpersonal skills. We don't learn emotional management. We don't, which are all skills you need to be successful in this world. If you can't manage your emotions, then you can't hold a job. You can't function in society. Like, it's going to cause problems for you. And I think that if people were taught how to communicate about their emotions in a healthy way, that it wouldn't be so much mental illness, not that that isn't, but it would be like, we need tools to learn, you know, it's building your toolbox of how do I be, you know, a person in society? How do I manage these emotions?
Right. So, and also, you know, I think when you're bipolar and you behave in a way that you don't approve of yourself, you know, like I would get really angry, you know, break things, you know, on purpose and smash walls and stuff. And I see that in my son as well, you know, because he's got the same thing that I do.
However, you guys, the thing is like through therapy, you know,
but I'll tell you what the therapy does. The therapy helps you deal with all the shit that you're doing and to accept yourself as it's okay, you know?
Well, there's all different types of therapy. Like I told you, the therapy that I go to, it's called dialectical behavior therapy, DBT. Mm-hmm. So what it does is there are types of therapy. There are therapists who deal with what happened to your past, the trauma. There are people that obviously you talk about your day to day. And then this type of therapy teaches you tools. So you are aware, you're completely aware. There's usually a thing called a prompting event, something that prompts this trigger of emotion, right? So, I mean, like anything, it takes practice. You're not gonna be healed or cured. I mean, mental illness is a journey.
You're gonna have it with you. Yeah,
but you can get better at when a moment happens, how you conduct yourself. You can, because you'll be, the first step is becoming aware. You're aware that you're feeling these emotions, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then you allow yourself to take a pause, and that pause is everything. I feel like if more people took pauses, there would be less, you know, that you just feel that emotion out. Well, he's a different story. He's not open. You got to be open. You have to be open to wanting to work on yourself.
And the thing is,
people don't realize emotions are waves, right? Just like a wave in an ocean, it hits a peak and then it comes back down. Most people don't even allow themselves to like just feel through the peak and then come back down without, and then reacting.
Right.
They react when it hits.
But in bipolar, the depression is very deep and it's very hard to look from that hole, you know, that ditch that you're in, to dig your way up, you
know?
But
I also think, because I have suffered from that deep depression pretty much most my whole life. I wrote my first suicide letter when I was 7 years old. I know what this, but there was something in my life that was causing that. I think oftentimes these emotions and the depression is speaking to you in a way that you have to be open to what is it trying to tell you. And oftentimes it's telling you that something in your life is not right. It is. It really is. It's speaking to you. And some people don't hear to them. Depression is like, I'm never going to get out of this. I'm a terrible person. You know, I'm a bad person. I want to kill myself. But that depression is speaking to you and telling you that you have to make a change, whatever it is in your life, because what is going on is not healthy.
But it's not always that, because it's a lot of chemistry in your brain as well. And, you know, I mean, I think the events, Gar, I think an event would trigger that, right?
Yes.
But you already have that chemistry imbalance.
Well,
in
there's
your head.
People, some people, yes, but it's very true. Some people have different chemicals in their brain. Like some people, like you look at people and tragedy happens to them and they can just bounce right back. And you're like, how do they do that? You know, like what? Yeah, and then some people, like us, you know, we're emotional, you know, we're empaths. I think in some level we feel things deeper than most people do. We feel emotion at intensity, you know? So I think it's just a matter of, like anything else, you have to work on yourself, because that can't overcome your life. You can't let that, you know?
Yeah. So we only have a couple of minutes left, Gar. So how are you dealing with your situation?
I actually did something very cool. Actually, it's 3 years this month. Oh, my God. I can't believe it's there. After many, many, many years of marriage, I left my wife.
Okay.
And I decided to go on a mission. And my website's called SaveALifeADay.org. SaveALifeADay.org. It talks about solutions as to how to either overcome or control your illness without drugs. Rachel touched on some of it. Music has become a major part of my life. I never even knew that I had this flow, but I've now become a songwriter. Oh. I have my first album is on iTunes and Spotify.
Really? Tell people how they can find it then.
Go type in, either you could type in, well, I'll tell you what, type in Baba Gar.
Right.
To YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. Okay.
Yeah, if you go to, I have two blues songs that I've written and sung on YouTube. Baba, B-A-B-A, and then the next word is Gar, G-A-R.
Okay.
I've written now, in the last 3 years, I've written over 150 poems.
Really?
And I've written now about 65
songs. So that's very therapeutic for you.
Tremendous.
Wow, very
That's cool. what it is. You got to find an out. Most, and a lot of people who suffer from mental illness and depression, bipolar, are creatives. There are, and they need an outlet to express themselves.
Yeah, most of them are, actually.
That's why I do stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no,
and I consider myself a bit of a comedian,
right?
too.
Yeah,
some of the dark, some of the most mentally ill people were some of the greatest comics in the world.
Right,
Robin Williams. Robin Williams, I really believe strongly that if he and I could have spoken, I could have saved him.
Right.
I really
I don't know that Robin Williams, did they say he had depression or bipolar? Because he had Parkinson's.
Yeah, had that, but I think it was the Parkinson's that
he was
really
a serious drug addict.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, he was.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
Until the end?
I'm not going to say till the end, but I met him
right
one day.
But later in his life, he was he
major cocaine.
Because remember, he was going into he went into rehab a couple times. Yeah. I remember.
Oh.
And most of the people, Sam, I'll say this: most of the people, I believe it's 85% of the people in America. Again, I believe, and again, I don't want to get political because I have my political. I believe that if we didn't have the depression level in America that we have, that Donald Trump would not be president today.
Probably. Okay. Well, that's a way to end the show. We're totally out of time, Gar. So people can just probably put your name. It's a unique name. Put in Baba Gar into Google and probably find you, right?
I'm the only Baba Gar in the universe.
Okay, there you go. You see? You gave yourself
the
a unique
only
name.
One. There you go.
A unique name, and that's awesome, you know. And everybody, go ahead and tune into the show right here on this station, Channel 2, Thursdays, 8 p.m., Awake with Baba Gar.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Rachel.
Gar, thank you so much for joining us.
That was such a good conversation.
Yes, and you're welcome back anytime. We can continue this. And if you guys are interested in all these topics, tune into his show. Amazing stuff. So, and you probably help inspire people with all your meditation and yoga and all that stuff. Yeah, I'd love to hear all about that. You seem like you've been through a lot, so... There you go. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Rachel, thank you.
See you Monday.
Thank you for having me.
Always.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.